Temple of Health radio show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest David Lowe, who is the author of Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. That interview is up on BBS Radio as well as plasticos.com. You go to resources and then radio, and the archive shows are at plasticos.com, and BBS also has them archived. David is back today to talk about dreams. He mentioned that he is a dream interpreter, and we had not done dreams in some time, so he's back to speak about what our dreams can tell us about our spiritual development, as well as just it's fun to interpret your dreams. Welcome, David.
Great. Thanks for having me back, Susan. I'm here.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the study of dreams.
Well, I had a great deal of dreams in the process of my own personal and spiritual growth. I went through a phase, after I got initiation from my major teacher, I went through a phase of incredible astral dream experience, which then calmed back down. But I began to have... some people are predisposed to have a lot of dreams in their spiritual journey. I think everybody, dreams are important for everybody who gets into spirituality a little bit. But for me, it was more than average, which is the case with some people. So I took a big interest in it because of that. Sure.
I wanted to share with you a dream that I had. Actually, there were two things that I had that we may have had in common. There are certain spiritual tests that one goes through in the dream state during the initiations.
Right.
And I had one experience where I was like all of a sudden something was on me trying to kill me, and I had to get it off of me, and I was successful in doing that. And then the next night I dreamt that it was at the front door, and I was successful at getting it away when it was at the front door. And
in
the next dream, it was down the street, and I was successful in stopping it before it ever got to the front door. And I felt that that was a spiritual test because of the intensity of the attack. It was a very, very vicious attack. And
sure.
I just felt it was... And then the other one that was really interesting, I had a dream that I was in battle with a warlock.
Uh-huh.
And we were just having a lot of fun. We were you know, throwing energy at each other and, you know, trying to kill each other. And it was just really an amazing experience. But then I realized that what I was supposed to realize was that it was just a test. And when I realized that, my masters came forward and congratulated me on realizing that it was just a test.
Great.
But at first
yeah.
I was just having fun. You know, it was a lot of fun to battle this guy.
Yeah, a major thing to understand is that all dreams come to us for a reason.
Right.
And I think the best way that you can classify dreams is by intent. So for me, there are reminding dreams, there are informational dreams, there are congratulatory dreams, there are reprimanding dreams. But to classify them that way, you have to interpret them first. So there are other ways of classifying them. Yeah, cool.
But definitely, we, you know, along the journey where we have to overcome fear, which is one of the major things we have to do as an initiate, is use energy consciously and then overcome fear. There are certain things I was reading after I had that dream with the warlock.
Right.
I was reading Rudolf Steiner's Knowledge of the Higher Worlds, and in that he says that all of the initiates are tested in the same manner, and it was in the dream state.
Yeah,
so it was very interesting.
Yeah, I've had a number of tests myself. The masters, in my case, there are two or three beings who show up on a fairly regular basis, sporadically, when they want to. I can't call on them, but I would call them angels. They come when they're supposed to and tell me certain things that I need to know, and often only symbolically. Yeah, it's really neat to be on a definite path like that involving internal esoteric phenomena such as communication with masters. With me, it's mostly symbolic. Occasionally, they show up in person, but it's usually symbolic. Yeah.
What symbols do they use?
Well, It's a huge issue. A major thing that people I think need to understand is that most dreams are symbolic. Occasionally, they'll be literal, but most dreams are symbolic. And in terms of quote-unquote spiritual dreams, I mean, all dreams have spiritual significance insofar as they come for a reason, and they're meant to communicate certain things. Explicitly, you know, spiritual phenomena such as epiphanies, visions of deities, and so forth, will occur for some people on the experiences with initiation and masters and so forth. But I think most people need to appreciate that spirituality involves everything in our lives, everything.
Right.
And dreams are, as far as I can tell, they happen. That information from higher reality is on offer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But too few of us, most of us, pay no attention to it. But it's always there, you know. Most of the time for most people, it's not going to be that big a deal if you don't follow up on a dream and try to understand it. But the option is there to improve your life to some extent and to fine-tune what you're doing for greater happiness and fulfillment. You just need to be interested. That's the big challenge, I think, for most people. Yeah.
There was a series of dreams I had, I'll describe one of them, that I interpreted as just me being bored with my normal life. As a surgeon, most of us surgeons really like danger and challenging ourselves and the thrill of, mastering something.
Right.
So when we get in this routine, which I'm in right now, to tell you the truth, we have these dreams that are really just having a lot of more danger and fun in our lives. And I had this dream where I was on a pogo stick, and
right.
I was like bouncing like really, really high, and then coming down and then bouncing again. It was almost like flying. And
right.
I just thought that I was just bored with my life, and I just wanted to have some fun in the dream state. And I think some flying dreams are like that too. You just want to be free. You want to experience things that you can't really experience in your normal, boring 3D reality.
Yeah, I think also, it's important to understand some dreams, for those of us on conscious spiritual paths who regularly meditate and have relationships
right.
with masters and so forth, whether internal or external, some dreams come to us, I think, in a purely educational capacity. They're not meant to teach us anything about the external affairs in our lives, which most dreams do. But dreams about flying, going through realms of clouds, out in the star field, spectacular levels of bliss and so forth, I think that's just meant to acquaint us with aspects of higher reality to
right.
get us used
yeah.
to it. Informational, educational dreams sometimes have no bearing on the external reality, as most
right.
dreams do. Most dreams do involve our external reality and are meant to tell us things about it. But dreams like what you just got through describing, I think for the most part are meant to just teach us stuff about the inner world. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And several patients I've had were notified that they had cancer or other life-threatening diseases through the dream state. So that, if they can interpret that and get treatment, that's real important.
Yeah, and usually that sort of information comes symbolically rather than literally, and people will often miss it
if
they don't really take an interest in what's being communicated. Yeah, sure.
So, do you want to give us some examples of dream interpretation? What how you would do that?
Well, we can take your dream for example. You sent me a dream, and I'm going to read it. I think I got all of your handwriting correctly. Here it is.
Yeah.
I am
it's
on
a challenge.
An airplane seeing a trauma patient, a doctor who was injured while off the plane but is not back on it yet. I do a write-up on her while waiting for her to get back to the plane. We land and are taxiing through streets and neighborhoods. So we stop, and the pilot tips the plane on its side, and people get out. To get back on again, and we go to the airport. I have to gather up a few things from three places on the plane prior to getting off and remember to finish the paperwork. So that's your dream.
Yeah.
And I don't know you well, but we can do for me, this is a textbook symbolic analog of things happening in your life.
Okay.
I don't know you well, but I think we can venture a generic spiritual journey interpretation, which I think this is very clearly. So, as you'll imagine, aircraft are often associated with spiritual journeys. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the dream is trying to tell you something. It came there for a reason. You had it for a reason. So you're a relatively fulfilled, accomplished person. So it's probably not a typical psychological issue. It's likely to be something more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're the trauma patient who you are seeing. Spiritual
That's
work.
Interesting.
Well, spiritual work. Major first axiom. Everything in a dream involves part of the dreamer psychologically. So you are the trauma patient who you are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual work involves self-examination and change and transformation.
Yeah.
So you're basically trying to transform yourself, which is good. But something's off. First, because you're really not all the way on the patient isn't all the way on the plane, even though you're. But so what you're learning about the person in treating him, which is yourself, will likely qualify her to be all the way on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you have karma somewhere because, the plane lands, you taxi through these neighborhoods, and you end up stopping in this neighborhood. And then there's a very interesting detail. The pilot tips the plane on its side, which is not the usual way of getting everyone off the plane, right?
No,
so,
it isn't.
No, that's very likely.
I mean, the plane was up on its wing.
Right. they tip it on as very likely indicative of some kind of imbalance on your part, something you're indulging too much or not doing enough of. Maybe a teaching that you're not paying too much attention to or paying too much attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But your overall journey is hampered in some subtle way by that imbalance.
Okay.
So everybody else on the plane represents your world, your universe, and they all get off and get back on.
Mm-hmm.
So that imbalance is predisposing you to think of everybody and everything in a correspondingly subtle imbalance off way.
Mm-hmm.
So... And there are three things in your life, the three places on the plane, three things in your life which are important on this journey. Like, they could be, for example, and I have no idea what those are. Like, if you go abroad, let's say you own three houses and you go abroad. You have to take care of affairs at those houses before you go abroad. It could be three houses, if it's that situation. It may be three teachers in which you each got important information, maybe three big teachers who you derived benefit from when you saw and read them, and who each gave you important pieces which allow you to do this write-up on yourself, right? So the three places in the plane that you gather things up from before you did finish the paperwork and got off the plane, those three things likely correspond to three things in your life, which in some sense are all involved in that journey. So it could be three teachers. It could be three children. It could be three situations or events in your life which had a big impact on you. It could be three houses if you own three houses and you fly from one place to the other. So it could be anything, three things.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is three teachers, and that's only a possibility, maybe each of those things contributes an important piece to you being able to complete that paperwork before you get on the plane, which is understanding yourself to a greater extent than you do now. And, of course, the dream happened for a reason. So what is that imbalance? What is that imbalance? And what have you yet to learn about yourself before you can qualify to be on that journey all the way? That's the general, as I see it. And I really don't know you well, but that's a stab at what I think it might mean.
Okay. Well, that's... Yeah. Very interesting. I wouldn't have gotten that from that, but I think that I'm not an expert in dream interpretation either, but it's certainly very, very possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's an analog symbolically in every detail. Flying in the neighborhood, people getting on and off, the three things in the plane, the person who's not all the way on the plane yet, which is yourself, whom you're looking at. All that, that's how I see it all hanging together. It's a unit.
Okay.
And what I've just done is to try to put it all together into one coherent piece. Yeah, that's a good example. It's a great dream.
Great.
Yeah. So after I got initiation from my major teacher, I began having literal dreams. Let me give you an example of one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So about 30 years ago, I was looking forward to getting involved with a certain woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Decatur, actually, which is right next to Atlanta.
Right.
So I was in Decatur, and I had this three-second audio dream. Okay, just no sound, rather no images, just sound. A three mm-hmm. seconds long, two things. A baby squalling and that woman nagging. That told
yeah.
me everything. So my life would have been completely different had I not heeded that dream and stayed away from
right.
that person.
Yeah.
That was a lifesaver as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I was not ready to be a father. And there wasn't any that's how dumb I was at the time. A symbolic dream, I would have missed it completely.
Right.
Yeah,
you had an auditory dream.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what else? And it's
I
important.
I had a similar dream. I was in the military,
right?
And I was dating a fighter pilot, and I had this, and I was supposed to be going to New Orleans to be with him, and I
right.
had this dream about New Orleans, just horrible smells. Garbage, you know, just piled up on the streets, just this horrible dream about New Orleans. And obviously I wasn't supposed to go there. New Orleans was also in an economic depression, so
right.
it wouldn't be good for a plastic surgeon to go there. And I ended up coming to Atlanta instead. And so I think that dream was to keep me from going to that geographic location.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a dream like that. If I were to counsel you about its meaning, its meaning would probably emerge for me over the course of about 15 or 20 minutes of conversation. But I mean, there are other pieces to it: the fighter pilot, the military,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, and it's there's more to it than that. But it's likely that you did the right thing by staying away from New Orleans and going to Atlanta.
Oh, I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. Atlanta, as you know, is a great place to have a business. In fact, I think it was the number one city for many years in Entrepreneur magazine.
Right.
You know, it really is a great, it totally different than New Orleans, which has always kind of been economically depressed. And you know, with the hurricanes coming through, the plastic surgeons, there was a female plastic surgeon there that was in a rich neighborhood, and she wrote this horrible story about trying to get out of her neighborhood without getting killed.
Right.
You know, people were going house to house and breaking in and robbing them and you know, with guns. And her boyfriend had a gun, so he loaded them all in the car and got them out of the neighborhood. But you know, the stories she was telling were just terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you definitely did not want to be in, even if you had money, you didn't want to be in that situation. It was quite dangerous.
Yeah. I think it's important to understand, there are a lot more typical dreams that people have. We've been discussing, well, in terms of benefits of dreams, the most famous romantic benefit that we hear about
mm-hmm.
is, you know, insights about inventions and scientific discoveries and things like that, literary inspiration, and you know, major dreams which direct us, like the one I just described, away from a certain course of action.
Right.
But those are all exceptional. I think people most commonly receive either insights about themselves, usually in the context of overcoming some personal issue, or
mm-hmm.
practical information about things in their lives and how best to handle them. Like the one that you mentioned, the one that we just went over about you being on the aircraft is a good example
right.
of that. And they can be accessed, but you need to dialogue with them. That's the most important thing. You don't necessarily need to understand symbolism, but if you don't, but we need to take the time to
mm-hmm.
write them down, think about their meaning, and then write back to God in a diary. That's the single most important thing. I think people can do is to consciously dialogue with their dreams and to put time into trying to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
That's real important. And you, we do that by you write them down, you try to understand them, and then you write back. You express your questions and frustrations back to God, because he's sending you the dream. You talk back to him when you write your questions and frustrations in your diary.
Right.
And if you do that on a regular basis, things will shift, and you'll begin to get a sense of what it's trying to say, even if you can't understand all the symbols. So people can take initiatives on their own to tune into what their dreams are saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I told this story before on our other interview about I was worried about the finances when I first started this business.
Right.
And I went home and it was at 3 in the morning, I opened the front door and there's this giant spider web with this big spider in the front door, which is very unusual. And then I heard to go look in the Zoller's dream book, and seeing a spider at night is prosperity. So the other thing I guess they can do is give you a dream. I mean, this was really wasn't a dream, but that if you have like the Zoller's dream book,
right,
they can use that to put the symbol in your dream and then tell you to go look it up.
Yeah, it's important to understand, of course, that symbols vary from situation to situation. But a good symbol dictionary is important in that it will give you a general sense of what a specific symbol usually refers to. But of course, you always have to tweak it and apply it to your specific situation. And so, there are folks who say that they don't dream at all. What can they do to remember their dreams? There are two things overall you can do. The first would be to make the latter part of your evening focus around the notion of sacred sleep, right? So if there's a TV in your bedroom, get it out of there.
Right.
And so, your last hour before going to bed, do some yoga, meditation, some spiritual reading. Mm-hmm. And set an intention. Say out loud, I will remember my dreams. That's known to work much of the time. Do that about once a week. And just the rest of the week, just try to be more spiritual and conscious about going to bed the right way. And the other thing to do is just to get into spirituality more. Get out of your comfort zone. Do things which create inner friction. That'll get you dreaming. For folks who don't dream at all but are curious about what people who do, we can tune into it. Everyone dreams every night. We know that. That's been known for decades. And if people aren't allowed to dream, they slowly go nuts. They start hallucinating. They flunk tests. They can't function in society after a couple of weeks of not being allowed to dream. So although they do have obvious psychobiological functions, their spiritual functions, of course, are, I think, ultimately more people are interested in tuning into. Yeah. Yeah.
What about recurrent dreams? I had a recurrent dream. I haven't had it in a while, but I was walking through the woods and a rabbit attacked me in the neck. I mean, it jumped up and started attacking my neck, which is weird because then later on that thing was played out on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And I think then Jimmy Carter had this, wasn't it a rabbit swimming or something, and he was worried about it attacking him or something. But something that normally wouldn't attack you, attacking you.
Yeah, that is a fascinating, I would need time to think about and get to know you, of course. But recurring dreams, they're very important in that they always reflect an ongoing issue in a person's life. And they wouldn't be happening, if there wasn't something that the person could be doing to fine-tune or make things better. Mm-hmm. So although your life may be fine and you're having a recurring dream, your life could be better if you paid attention to it and fine-tune and tweak some things to be even happier and to be even more fulfilled. So recurring dreams are important. If you're having them, there's something that you're ignoring. I mean, people do have these long-term issues, but if you are having that recurring dream, even if there's no turmoil in your life and things are fine, you could be doing something better. And nightmares, of course, are the most important dream. Nightmares are unpleasant only because they're trying to get your attention. Like, hello, stupid. Do something about this now.
Right,
That's what nightmares are about. I haven't had one in years and years because I think I'm more or less doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nightmares are very important, only because they're trying to get your attention about something that you're doing your best to ignore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we've all heard the ones about where you're running and running and like dogs are chasing you or something's trying to kill you, and then you turn around and you face your fear, and then the dogs or whatever, or lions or whatever, turn into masters.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that a lot, sometimes it's about facing your fears.
Sure. Absolutely. And there are very common, you know, themes and motifs you see. People, you know, being undressed in public, very common. I mean, what does that mean? Well, there's some of these common dreams, because they reflect very, very common psychological tensions that most of us deal with. Like being undressed in public, usually that's about, you know, being worried about what other people think of you, or mm-hmm. being worrying too much about what other people may already know about you, that sort of thing. You know, some of us don't worry about that at all because we have a good sense of security and so forth. But there are a lot mm-hmm. of insecure people out there always worrying about what other people are thinking. You know, so that's very common. Flunking a test, taking a course that you flunk, you know, taking a test in a dream, you know, that usually reflects a situation where you don't feel qualified to do something that you have to do. You're not really, it could be anything. Having to talk to your kids about something unpleasant or difficult,
mm-hmm.
A job interview that you're frightened about. It could be anything that you don't think you're qualified to do or not ready, don't feel good about doing. Falling mm-hmm. in a dream. Falling, usually something about being out of control, not being able to predict or understand the situation. So all those are very common psychological tensions that most people deal with. And so they're reflected in those kinds of common dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they are meaningful in that they happen to let us know, well, you know, you need to have less insecurity. You need to understand to be more confident about yourself. You need to try to understand the situation. You need to sort of prepare for the situation. That's what they're saying. So, you know, they happen for a reason, dreams. They happen for a reason.
One dream I had was interesting. I dreamt that I was dreaming.
Right. Yeah. Sure. I mean, that's common enough. And of course, I mean, most people have dreams in which they dream that they're dreaming. And I think that happens because dreams have many possible meanings. A very, very basic mm-hmm. thing about dream interpretation. They have many possible meanings. The reason they have many possible meanings is because, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do anyway at the end of the day. So, you know, they say that only a dreamer really knows what the dream means. But I think that's mm-hmm. only true because the person is going to end up doing what he's going to do anyway in response mm-hmm. to it. So my sense is that a lot of people who are curious about their dreams are often way, way off in understanding what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my experience in the process of helping someone understand dreams, after about 15, 20 minutes of conversation, we sort of zero in on a more and more appropriate meaning. Ideal meaning, and it's like a light goes on. Oh, wow! You know, it's like an aha moment on mm-hmm. the part of the dreamer. So dreaming that you're dreaming is probably just one thing it could be saying is, listen, there are these higher states of consciousness, and you need mm-hmm. to investigate them. What does it mean if you're dreaming that you're dreaming? What does that imply about reality?
It's a dream.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's another situation that was interesting. I had a spiritual student who I lent a crystal to, and the crystal was very important because it contained information that I needed to download. And his girlfriend stole it because she was jealous of me, and there was really no reason to be jealous of me. I was just his teacher.
Right.
But she stole it, and then she lied to him and said she didn't have it, but we knew she had it. So I was working with another initiate at the time, and she described that we both came into her dream, and she didn't know this other person, so she described him, and that was him. And we both told her what would happen if she didn't give the crystal back, and then she gave the crystal back. So that was interesting.
Yeah. It's one of the really...
So you can enter other people's dreams and tell them things.
Yeah, and it's important to get that on one level, that's true. For some people, on some spiritual paths, some esoteric paths, that can happen. More generally, though, when somebody intentionally sets out to dream, I had one student in one of my religious studies classes wanted to dream. She wanted to get together with her boyfriend in a dream at the same time, and she was never able to do it, or the boyfriend went. When she successfully did that in a dream, the boyfriend never remembered seeing her. Right. And what I ended up explaining to her is that most people in dreaming, in understanding those kinds of dreams, you end up, what I tried to get her to understand was that, you know, everything in a dream represents an aspect of the dreamer. So the boyfriend wasn't her boyfriend. It was her projection of her boyfriend.
Right.
Okay. And the interesting thing about some of these esoteric paths is that reality is breached, and two different spheres of reality can interact and indeed represent the other person instead of a projection of the other person. So although on spiritual paths like the one that you're on that happens, most of the time it represents just a projection of the dreamer instead of the other person actually being there, I think.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a dream that we went in,
right?
But I was working with this other initiate at the time, and so I figured somehow we decided to get the crystal back. It was important to get the crystal back, so that's how we did it. Now, but I didn't dream that I did it, so,
right.
You know, it wasn't my dream that I did it. It was her dream where she saw somebody I was working with. And me telling her why she had to give the crystal back. So I really think we went into her dream because I don't think she would have been able to describe this other person. She didn't know about it.
Well, actually, the alternate explanation, I think, is actually, I would interpret that as being, it was her, you in her dream represented her own inner wisdom speaking up, her own power of discrimination way deeper than the conscious level, manifesting
like
as
don't
you
steal.
In the dream.
Yeah.
So she
not
saw
a good
you
idea.
In, you were an aspect of herself in the dream, instead of you being in her dream. So,
okay.
But again, this is the interesting thing about some initiates and some esoteric paths.
Yeah.
The notion that we are all separate universes, which I think has a lot of validity in relation to the concept of monistic enlightenment, that notion is overcome in some of these esoteric paths in which two people do indeed inhabit the same reality instead of separate realities. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, gosh. And there's also, you know, I think people need to understand that symbols are indeed a universal language. And the way to understand that is the symbols represent, you know, raw sense data. Like before you associate a word or concepts with an object, you first perceive the object, right? So, like, for example, take a 30-year-old insurance salesman from New York City, an 80-year-old shaman from the Amazon, and a 10-year-old son of an Afghan terrorist who's already carrying an AK-47, right? Three totally different people. But they all know what dirt is, what clouds are, what a father is, what the weather is, what sex is. They all know those things without putting words and concepts on them. That basic perception is what provides the universal language of symbolism. And it's important to understand that we all do, and that's why universal archetypes exist, which a lot of academics don't think they do. But anyone who tunes into deeper spirituality, mystical levels of spirituality on these deeper paths, understands that there are things that link all of us, and that dreams represent that language. So, yeah, I think that's important to get, because a lot of people don't have faith that dreams do have meaning. They're not just random. Yeah, that's cool.
It is. So are there any dream reference books that you would recommend?
I'd recommend, Jeremy Taylor, who I think is the best known and most respected dream theorist in the country. The Wisdom of Your Dreams is a very good book. He says, and I think he's right, that all dreams, without exception, come in the service of health and wholeness. And I think, we can be forgiven for not totally believing that, because I do think that in practical terms, some dreams are insignificant. But, if you only have time to look at a major image or symbol, two or three big scenes from a very complicated dream, that's mm-hmm. all you need to analyze it. Because God understands that we only have so much time to do stuff.
Right.
So, Jeremy Taylor, The Wisdom of Your Dreams. I'm trying to think. Carl Jung's essays in his works and his introductory works on analytical psychology are important to read. He's mm-hmm. sort of the foundational guy who really got us to understand universal archetypes. Those would be two major references that I would recommend offhand.
In the Carlos Castaneda's material, there is some instruction about dreams that we have ordinary dreams where we can ask during the dream to have all of that just kind of disappear, and then the stuff that is actually from other dimensions will stay put, and then you can follow that messenger or whatever you want to call it, that it's usually a person, I guess, or an animal. You can follow that out into the other dimensions.
Into non-ordinary reality. As he described it, non-ordinary reality.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you can explore non-ordinary reality. You have to kind of dissolve the dream stuff that is just everyday, subconscious stuff that we all do. But that there'll be one element of the dream that is more more lasting. I mean, it's
and the
real
concept of an ally or an angel is important. I do think that we all need to really tune in to really find a dream guide or an angel or an ally, some consistent presence.
Right.
For me, it's mostly simple. I know by how accurate and pinpointed the symbolism and occasional literal dreams I have are, that most of the time my angels and guides are implicit. They don't show up, but sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to have longing, real curiosity about higher reality. If that's there, then a guide will come, internally or externally.
Right.
And so, dreams are a very, very important aspect of the human condition, and people need to pay more attention to them. That's my big thing, as you can tell.
Yeah.
It's
important to write down the dream right when you get up, too.
Well, I think, the most important, what I found very helpful, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't want to disturb your wife and you don't want to get cold writing down the
mm-hmm.
dream, what you can do is just lie there and rehearse it. Rehearse the whole thing in your mind five
mm-hmm.
or six times before you go back to sleep, to imprint it in your memory.
Then you'll remember it?
Yeah. My experience is if I have a dream at 1 o'clock in the morning, I go back to sleep, I won't remember it the next morning, or very little
right.
of it.
Yeah.
But if I rehearse it in my mind four or five times, every scene, everything that was said, everything in the dream, I just rehearse it, picture it,
mm-hmm.
five times in a row, I will imprint it in my memory for next morning.
Mm-hmm. Or if you live alone, you can just have a tape recorder and speak it.
Right, exactly.
It's a lot faster.
Yeah, it's faster. And, again, dialoguing is very important. Even if you can just devote 15 minutes a day, five
mm-hmm.
minutes, do bullet points on the major scenes, 5 minutes trying to figure it out, and 5 minutes writing down your questions and frustrations to God,
mm-hmm.
that 15 minutes a day can mean everything in a person's life as time goes
mm-hmm.
on. Paying attention, examples. And, it's important to get a good example of how dreams work. I'll give you one. This is a theoretical example, but it really illustrates how things work in higher reality, I think. You ready for this example?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Okay. Let's say there's a single mother and two grown children. Right. Her favorite is the more conventional kid who got an MBA. He works on Wall Street. Right. The other kid, with whom she had a falling out, is the more ethical of the two kids. He ended up in Japan making pottery. He's not doing as well financially, but he's the better person in the eyes of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the woman, their mother, finally sits down to do her will, which the kids have both been wondering about. Right? And when she does, mm-hmm. she experiences inner turmoil. Because while she likes the conventional kid more, part of her realizes that she should be liking the other kid more. Mm-hmm. And all three of them start dreaming about this will. Not only because they're connected, but because they all have attachments and expectations around that will,
right?
Some more than others. But unless one of them does dream work, they won't know what they're dreaming about.
Right.
Right. But that information is there. So that's how, you know, we're all connected at a deeper level. You know, thoughts and feelings don't just inhabit our heads. They exist in higher dimensional realities as sort of matrices, if you will. And all those matrices are all interacting with each other. And, so that's, things work like that in higher reality, transcending time and space.
And sometimes you meet people in the dream before you meet them in real life.
Sure. That happens
a lot.
I've had
that happen.
And events like Abraham Lincoln, you know, seeing himself dead 2 weeks before his assassination. If he'd paid attention to that, that might not have happened.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a warning, definitely.
It was a warning. Sure it was. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So what else here is very important to understand stuff? So dreams like that, spirituality, interest in dream. What else do we need to get folks to really get? So it's only, again, I can interpret stuff for $25 a shot. If you're having a repetitive dream, recurring dream, mm-hmm. and there's lots of turmoil in your life, you need help. You will benefit from, in terms of seeing somebody local, a therapist, the person should be older, an older person, like 50 years plus, because I mean, you need some degree of spiritual maturity to work with dreams. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, psychiatrists, clinical psych people, often won't be that interested. Folks who do transpersonal, alternative forms of therapy aren't necessarily mm-hmm. better doing dream work. Okay, the person should be 50-plus years old. The person should be doing spiritual practices. Mystical meditation. They need to be on a spiritual path. Not necessarily one of the religions, of course, but they need to be on a conscious spiritual path and to be interested in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So if the person's older, doing spiritual stuff, and has an interest in dreams, they can help you for sure. You know. Dream work's important.
Would you like to give your contact information?
Yeah, sure. David Lowe, L-O-W, MS, PhD, as in Masters of Science, Doctorate of Philosophy, David Lowe, msphd.com. That's Lowe with no E, David Lowe, msphd.com. And I'm at my email is david@worldspirituality.com. So that's easy to remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit just about some common dream symbols. You know, like people say, I saw a snake in my dream, or I saw a spider, or I saw, a dragon. What are
some
of
these? One thing about animals always represent, they tend to represent instinctual parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, of course, occur in so many myths that they obviously have profound philosophical scene. Like a snake is, one, they shed their skin. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, they often represent growth and unfolding, transformation.
Right.
Snakes bite you, especially poison snakes bite you. That very often represents some kind of initiation because, you're being bitten, something's being injected into you. Mm-hmm. And so there's something transformative is going to happen, good or bad.
Right.
The fact that it's bad in physical reality means nothing symbolically. So a snake biting you usually represents some sort of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
A spider in a web, or a bat, something like a bat, that's like something about higher reality, the darkness, the profound elements off in the shadows, which have so much to offer. Mm-hmm. You know, usually something instinctive. A dog, a symbol of loyalty. Cats, of course, a more mystical quality. You know, cats, birds, you know, a lot of subtle, esoteric knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I remember this wasn't a dream. It was definitely a waking dream. At one point in my life, I was worrying about not having enough money to do what I wanted to do. I would have to work mm-hmm. harder than that. I would have to, like, get two or three jobs instead of just one to make ends meet and so forth.
Right.
And all this was connected with how soon or if my mother would pass, you know, because she had cancer and so forth. We were expecting her to go in 5 years instead of 20 years. So I was worrying about all this, how much, you know, would I inherit any money? If not, would I have to work and so forth? So the day after, that afternoon, after I was worrying about this, I walked outside, I looked over, and I saw two cars next to each other. And next to the exhaust pipe of each car was a black cat.
Really?
And they were both looking at me. Right? And what that implied to me was, don't worry, things will work out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, what that implied was, you're being heard. God has heard your concerns and your prayers about this mm-hmm. issue. So that event, two black cats next to the tailpipes of two cars parked mm-hmm. next to each other, staring at me intently, was a definite sign that things were at least understood by the powers mm-hmm. that be. You know?
Huh.
Yeah.
So what was that rabbit that was attacking my neck?
Oh boy, I would really. So you were rabbit attacking your neck. You were walking down a path.
I was a teenager. I was a teenager, and then I think the last time I had the dream, I was in college.
Okay, so this occurred through a teenage year through college, right?
Yeah.
And not
but
since
I was
then.
Still, I mean, I was 20 when I entered medical school, so I was like in college when I was a teenager. So.
Right.
Obviously,
right.
Yeah.
So this dream happened, has it happened since medical school?
No.
Okay, so it only happened through teenage years through medical school. Yeah, so you're outside, you're on a path outside, right?
Yeah, kind of in a jungle-type environment.
Right,
yeah.
And you're walking along and a rabbit attacks your neck.
Yeah, it just comes out really quickly and goes for my neck.
Right.
Well, I mean, I know that that's a fear of... So anything attacking your neck is that's like something trying to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about that, you know, you're in a jungle, and a rabbit, of course, amongst all animals, a rabbit symbolizes
it's not going to attack you. You know?
Yeah, it's more so than any other animal, it symbolizes cuteness, peace, harmlessness, you know, the complete innocence, the complete lovely innocence of something.
Right.
So you're paranoid about something completely innocent trying to kill you.
Exactly.
Right. It's like, you know, and of course you had that dream over and over again. So you're
right.
You were
that was really my only recurrent dream in my life. So.
Right. You were consistently worried about something completely harmless trying to harm you.
Right.
Inside a jungle, and a jungle, of course, represents the deep inner feelings and sort of the jungle. Ancient emotions and mm-hmm. feelings, you know, that you're walking through. None of it's harming you. So it's just like, this is my realm. This is my deeper spiritual reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worrying for nothing. I'm worrying over nothing.
Yeah.
You know, is my overall sense of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be. Anyway, it was a weird dream, especially when it came out later. Monty Python had that in one of the movies. But anyway, it was weird.
One thing I want to say also, you know, I've mentioned that I had those literal dreams are relatively rare.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you another one. Again, this happened after I got initiation from my major teacher. And I hasten to mention that you don't need to get initiation from gurus to have these dreams, but you do need longing for higher truth.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened, again, a very stressful time in my life. I was still living in Decatur. I was meditating, and I fell asleep for a second, right? It was a very short dream. In the dream, I got into my car, drove out onto the perimeter highway, got into a terrible accident. I didn't feel any injuries. Instead, I felt myself absorbed in this great yellow light. It was like I died, you know?
Yeah.
And after the dream ended, a voice said, while I was still asleep, check it now. So I hadn't given a second thought to my car in months. I was really stressed, mm-hmm. not worrying about things like I should have been. I went outside, looked at the car, and saw this big air blister sticking out of the left front tire. I said, whoa. You know, I mean, having a tire not go flat, but blow out at 70 miles an hour.
That would cause a significant injury. I once had a patient in the ICU for 1 year after that happened. One year.
Wow.
She broke every rib in four places.
Yeah.
So flail chest. So that they can be very dangerous.
Yeah, that dream was a lifesaver.
Yeah, but no kidding.
Those kinds of literal dreams are rare, but they do happen.
Yeah, they do.
And they'll happen if you have a longing for truth and you're going through hell in your life.
Right. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Yeah, David Lowe, msphd.com, Lowe without an E, David Lowe, msphd.com. David@worldspirituality.com is the email. In my book, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. Be great to
And we've
hear
got
from
that
anyone.
Interview up now, too, if people want to listen to the interview with on the book.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us for Dreams. It was fascinating. Appreciate you sharing with us.
It's been wonderful. Great discussion. We'll do it again sometime on some other topic.
We will. Thank you very much, David. We've been speaking with David Lowe on Dreams. Next week, we've got an interesting author, Nick Redfern, Weapons of the Gods. And then on the 8th of October, Richard Barnett, A New Psychology of Human Well-Being. Anyway, join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.